praise and thanks be unto the Lord. We believe what we have sung, and we believe that God stands to His word. Whatever may be in our lives, one thing remains forever firmly anchored: the faith in God and in His word, in the truthfulness of God. And as Brother Sieg just said, that also we shall become true. To this, I would like to read this one word, and then we will pray together. I have the impression that we today have come with a great longing to experience God. I have noticed this from the various remarks, and I believe God will satisfy our longing. In 1 John, in chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, from verse 18, it says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not." And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Let us stand up and worship once again. Heavenly Father, in reverence, we come before your throne of grace, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Today we would like to find grace before you, O God. We want to experience your grace anew. You know the various prayer requests, the petitions. Lord, the needs are great. We lay everything before you, faithful God. Strengthen us in our faith, that we don't come with hesitation, but with joy before your throne of grace, taking you in faith by your word. Faithful Lord, the prayer requests we lay particular before you. You know them who are in hospital, also our brother who has to go there. O Lord, together we put our hope in you. We don't understand your ways always, faithful God, but we want to submit under them, Lord, trusting you, knowing that you will make it well. And then we have a very special prayer request. Equip your church with the power of the Spirit, that your word is once more confirmed after the divine pattern of the early church. Faithful Lord, let us see it before time comes to its end. Before your return, we want to have experienced this restoration. Faithful Lord, may you also strengthen me and all of us who were here today, and all who will later on hear this sermon. We are joined with you and with one another. Dear Lord, I don't know what I shall say, but you know it. Lord, you know the needs, the various needs which are here and among the people. Be merciful to us for your holy name's sake. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you that you redeemed us, pardoned us, forgiven us, giving us new life. Faithful Lord, this gathering we commit unto you. May the victory of Calvary be also manifested here, and the word of the cross accomplish for what it was sent for, namely that for what you have died. Faithful Lord, save the lost, heal the sick, and bless us all from the riches of your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have read a wonderful word from Psalms. We will come back to it in a moment. I have to apologize today because earthy, I'm a bit exhausted, so that I actually should have taken a rest. But the duty and the task in the kingdom of God is more important than everything else. Let us continue with this thought, which was expressed already from the Epistle of John, chapter 5. We know that we are of God. We spoke about it already. Holy men were sent by God and have preached the word. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and there is such an agreement of the Old and of the New Testament, which no man could have made in such a way. Only the Spirit of God was able to inspire these men and at the various times speak the one language of God and to give the one track of the divine revelation. And in the same way it is today. There are not many voices, but one voice, one language which God speaks. If one looks into the religious world, how many voices can be heard there? And the strange is, all claim to have been called by God, to speak by the commission of God. We don't want to go here into details of some who make a name of themselves. But there are people who bypassed what God has done. How shall they then get the connection to that, what God will still do? The mighty, on the testimony of the Scripture, be it the Old or be it the New Testament, is therein that one prophet was tying to that what another has said, and the perfect conformity of that what God has spoken. And if we, in our time, ask ourselves the question whether it's right or not, with what can we answer it? Everybody at first could say, yes, with me it's right, I believe correctly. But this all say, and they all believe differently, and everybody says the direction is right. When is it really right? When it lines up with God and His Word. Only then it's right and not otherwise. One can claim without that it is so. How do we have the possibility to check this, to really convince us of it, that it's right by reading the Word of God, that the promises which are written therein are illuminated to us by the Holy Spirit, and then that we believe them with all our heart. I have just now read from Romans 4 and want to read some more things of it before we come back to this psalm. In Romans chapter 4, it is one of the most wonderful chapters which Paul has written. Here Abraham is shown to us. Abraham, the man of faith, a man who was blessed, a man who has heard the voice of the Lord and who obeyed it. In Romans 4 it says, from verse 1, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This word, this statement, Abraham believed God. We, as believers, have been placed upon this way of faith. We have no other choice. There's no need of an inner effort to believe. We have been placed upon this way of faith. The Word of the Lord has fallen into our soul and was joined with the faith from the beginning. We didn't have to make efforts to become believers. It was a divine intervention into our life. It was an hour, a day, on which it fell like scales from our eyes. Something in our soul broke forth. God has done something. And thus we became the access and the connection to God and to His Word, because we have been born again by the same seed. It is allied. I still have on my heart to write another brochure to give the proof why God has revealed Himself in Christ, so that probably also the others will grasp it. But the thought which became so great to me was, God made a new beginning by begetting. It says, the Holy One born of thee is of the Holy Ghost. A new beginning, the word of promise. The Spirit came upon the Word, and thus the Word became flesh. In the same way, it must become with us, if we want to be born of God, begotten of God. We read, he who is born of God, he who is begotten of God, does not sin. He cannot question the Word. He was placed into the faith. Abraham believed God. All of the seed of Abraham, all true believers, believe God. Not men, they believe God. And whoever believes God, believes as the Scripture has said. That's how our Lord said it in the Gospel of John in chapter 7. He who believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The remarks which I indicated earlier on, before the service, they addressed me very much. They were manifold. One sister said, I want to have the spirit of prayer. I said, I also want it. There were various things which were spoken of. What kind of longing did we bring today in this meeting? What is most important to us? What is it? If the Lord today could be visible in our midst and would ask, what do you want me to do for you? What would be your answer? Do you know it? Do you have a request on your heart with which you can come into the presence of God? Today, now, do you have the faith that you may bring your request to the Lord and that He will satisfy it? I have not only one. I have some things which I lay before the Lord in the trust that He stretches forth His mighty arm. We must come to Him in faith and trust, not thinking something blurred, but knowing very concrete, Lord, this is on my heart. And if we then find a promise in the Word upon which we can stand and connect the promise with faith, and then are in the expectation that the Lord will give it. What do you have today on your heart, dear brother, dear sister, dear friends? Which request do we have on the first place? I believe most certainly that we have one thing in common, the wish that God manifests Himself, the wish that the windows of heaven would be open and the showers of blessing could come down on us, the wish that we one more time experience a book of Acts. Brother Branham said, every time when the Spirit of God is really poured out, then afterward a book of Acts can be written. Then things are taking place which one can also report of that what God has done. You all know many times report of that what the enemy has caused, and not of that what God has done. We want to meet the Lord by faith and trust Him that He has all power in heaven and on earth, that He won, this we know, and that He will have the final victory, this we also know. Here it's written, for what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Also we believe God, and this is counted unto us for righteousness. God sees the faith on that what He has said. This we also emphasized. God has given promises. What should take place? And He watches over His word to fulfill it. We are so grateful that right in this time He has put the word of prophecy in particular upon the lampstand, so that we in the midst of darkness see the bright light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We find the way with God. Why? Because we are more clever than all the others? No, most certainly not. Because the Lord took us by His hand. Because He revealed unto us His word and His name. What did we read in this psalm? It's one of the most wonderful psalms. But if we would have read another one, that one would have become great to us. Here in Psalms 86 it says, in verse 7, in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. There is nothing in heaven and on earth. There is no one. It's the one God who is all in all and who made all things. As it is written, to him and through him all things were created, made be thrones or dominions. Everything was made to him and through him. There is none like unto thee. Most certainly not. With whom could we compare the Lord? All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Also this will take place. Today it's the people of God, to whom the name of the Lord became great, because it was transfigured unto us by revelation. Today we honor this name, which is above every name. But the hour and the day comes on which every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And I'm just glad about it. Our Lord was thrown at with so much reproach, and if then the hour of his glorification comes, then we all will rejoice. We will jubilate. It will not be a malicious joy. It will be a divine joy, for our Lord is worthy that praise and honor, glory and worship is given to him. After all, he left glory as Lord. He became servant. He took upon him the form of a servant, so that we who were servants of sin could become sons and daughters of God by grace. The redemption is something precious, and if it then will find its completion, then we will all rejoice. Verse 11 stood out to me in particular. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord. There is a word in the prophet Isaiah which goes something like that. Who remember you on your way. There is a way which seems to be right for the people, and the end thereof is destruction. But there is a way of God, one way. And there's only one who could say, I am the way. Only one who could say, I am the truth. Only one who could say, I am the life. Only one. All the others, they testified of the truth and for the truth. But he was the truth in person. And because we follow him, we don't remain in darkness, but we may walk in his light. In John 14, the Lord said the following. He gave the promise to prepare us a place, and there he made a statement and said, the way you know, and so forth. I read from John 14, John 14, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? What was it? Here was revelation of God in the shape of a man. To us, this fact became great and wonderful above everything. The greatest revelation that God could give us was His self-revelation in the shape of a man. And the greatest revelation that can be given to you and me is the revelation about this revelation of God. Did we get it? There are so many who have some kind of revelation. But this here is the revelation of all revelations. It's the sum. It's the result. It's that what has become the greatest to us. No riddle anymore. No matter what scripture we read, everything is in a harmony. Because the divine harmony has been laid into our heart. Only then we will understand God's word. Jesus spoke so much about the Father, and suddenly he says, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Everything he spoke of was himself. The word became flesh. Beloved, at the end of time, that's how we believe it, the Lord wants to manifest Himself once more. It seems the closer this time comes, the more we feel the trouble in us. It almost becomes a depressing load, a trouble in our heart. For how long, O Lord? How long will it still take until you manifest yourself in such a way that not only we, but also others see it and experience it? That the difference is manifest between them who serve God and them who serve Him not. Also between them who believe rightly, because as the scripture says it, and between them who believe not right. I believe that God is on the side of His word. And if we are on the side of His word, then God is on our side. Then God is with us if we hold fast to His word. And the last and mightiest revelations of God, His power that one more time will be manifested, will of necessity have to be there, where God could reveal Himself before, where He could make known His word and His will, where people had reverence before that, what He has done in our days. Also about this, we don't deceive ourselves. Even though great evangelists bypass what God has really done, they awaken hopes in the hearts of the people which will remain unfulfilled. A justified hope is only there where there is a word of promise of our God, and where the faith can be anchored into the promises which God has given. If this is not the case, then we awaken false hopes, and then it leads at the end to disappointment. Right in this 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, there is the favorite scripture of Brother Branham. There were some of them. It was Hebrews 13 verse 8. But also this scripture here. in John 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." What stands out to me is the fact that this promise is written in connection with what he said before. How can you say, "Show us the Father"? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. This divine revelation was preceded by that what was promised here. I read from John 14, verse 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. And after this comes the promise. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," every time when these two words, "verily, verily," are said, then we must listen very closely. If we otherwise already do it, but then we should do it all the more. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," how to believe on me? "As the Lord has said it." He who believes what he has just set forth, believes that what he said there, "He who sees me sees the Father. I and the Father are one." Believe for the work's sake. I speak not of myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. Then comes the promise. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." If we now take this very seriously, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, then in the last consequence, this task is given to us. Then we are the ones who can count with it, that God also this verse will make true and confirm what he promised therein. It will not be the ones who divide God so opposite and next to each other. No, it will be them who could enter the Holy of Holies with God, and who have only heard that what God has spoken and received the revelation the way he has given it. These will be the people. And I have therein also a confirmation that Brother Branham, in an unusual way, was used by God. And it was him who was also used to put this divine truth of the revelation in Christ anew upon the lampstand. With this, he was totally alone. And until this day, all the great evangelists remained in the old waters and just mixed together old and new things. who took upon himself all of the reproach of the name of Jesus. It was Brother Branham. The others are celebrated people, highly esteemed, with unbelievers and believers alike. But there was one man, a man sent from God, and I'm not ashamed, but I confess freely and openly, as John the Baptist was sent before the first coming of Christ. So Brother Branham, on the 11th of June, 1933, he heard the voice, "So you, with a message, will forerun the second coming of Christ." We believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I would have also believed it if I wouldn't have seen the eyewitnesses who were present. But I'm glad that I have seen them. I have, in April 1966, when Billy Paul asked, "Who is here among the audience who in June 1933 were present when the light came down and the voice spoke to Brother Branham?" I counted quickly. I estimate between 10 and 15 people who raised their hands and who even stood up, who were present when this happened. And I believe it with all my heart. God has sent this man with a message, and there will be a bride called out from all peoples, tongues and nations. As lonely as his way became, and the more God revealed him, the more misunderstandings came up with the others who did not walk with him on the same way. But the more clarity came among those who were pardoned to walk with him on the way of God. And the same is happening in this time with them who walk on their own way. Every sentence which God revealed or has spoken, it will mean to them a new misunderstanding. For us who we believe and trust and walk on the way of God, everything what the Lord has said means more clarity, more truth, more understanding, more insight. It goes from clarity to clarity, from knowledge to knowledge. But let us hold fast this thought by faith. May it fall deep into our hearts, for we all need a foundation to stand on it. If it is being said here in this connection, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," not to all, not to the others, "I say unto you," who are this you? Those who asked, those to whom he himself could give the answer. We don't go to men to get our answer. We come to the Lord, and today we get the same answer as it was given then. So, those to whom he gave the promise, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." Who were they? It were his own. It were those whom God had chosen from before the foundation of the world, that they would be redeemed and believe the Lord. He said here in verse 5, we read it already. I wanted to read now verse 3 and 4 in John 14. Verse 3 and 4. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and away ye know. Then came the question of Thomas, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Was it not with all of us like this? Also we belonged to them who already followed the Lord. But we didn't know yet many things. Just be honest, we were believers for years. We served the Lord as good as we could. And suddenly, things came that we didn't hear yet, which we didn't know yet. And we came, and it was made known to us. We heard it. How grateful we can be. One can follow the Lord and still have not recognized him. That's how it was with the disciples. Their eyes, their hearts were still held. They could not see. But then, when the Lord spoke freely with them, then it was revealed to them. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many evangelists and children of God take right this verse into their mouth and speak it out without comprehending at all what is being said there? One can quote scriptures, one can read them without seeing the context. But thanks be to God that we don't just read over it. We deepen ourselves into this content, into the Holy Scripture. I am strengthened by this word. I'm comforted inwardly. For I know God does not change. He doesn't change his plan. What he has ever done, he will also do now at the end. He was with them who stood on his side, who believed him and who obeyed him. We have heard the message about the oneness of God, about all the biblical teachings. We heard everything what had to be said to the church. And as far as I am aware of, we all believe it with all our hearts, right? Can you say a louder amen with all your heart? Amen. We cannot do otherwise. We are like Abraham, called by the Lord. We were addressed. We heard the promises from the mouth of the Lord. We cannot do otherwise but to believe with all our heart. And here the Lord says to us, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. What a promise! One almost trembles that the Lord has given us such a promise. Can we dare to believe that it will be confirmed, that it becomes true? We cannot do otherwise. And you will see, in the last round, God will confess to them who confessed him. He will reveal himself among them to whom he could reveal himself. And this will be those people who received his word and who believed every revelation which he has given. He continues and says here, Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's a promise for us this afternoon. Whatsoever we shall ask, that he will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. After all, Jesus prayed, Glorify thy name. And the voice sounded, I glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Let us keep of this afternoon at least this precious thought, that God at the end will once more manifest Himself and will confirm this verse 12 as being true, and that this confirmation of God will take place there where His revelation, the revelation of God in Christ, the revelation of the Father in the Son, was received and believed. There it will take place. Just as God was in Christ, so Christ will be in the church. And also this we read from the Epistle of John. And now we see how wonderful this fits together. Ye are in Him who is true, even in His Son. This is the true God and eternal life. We are in Him, and He is in us. As He could say then, the Father is in me, and I am in Him. See, it's very simple. God is Spirit. And therefore the scripture says, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. God is not bound to place and time. God is omnipresent. He is in heaven and on earth. When He was in Christ, heaven was not empty. It is written that He fills the whole universe. Where could we go, says David in Psalms 139. And if I would have wings and would fly to the ends of the sea, You, O God, are there. And if I would be in hell, Your hand would even lead me there. Where can we go to bypass God? Nowhere. He will meet us everywhere. How nice it is that we could step on divine revelation ground. Not being taught by flesh and blood or conferring, but by the Holy Spirit revealed in perfect conformity of that what prophets and apostles proclaimed and what the Lord Himself testified. Let us receive it by faith, for we need it. We need a base. We need a foundation upon which we can stand. And if it is being said here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and we know what it means, he who believes on him, as the scripture has said, he who believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. I didn't know that I would read this text today, but it was in my heart. This urge, O Lord, how long we must still wait until You can manifest Yourself, until Your word becomes a living reality and we see the confirmation with our own eyes. Yes, taking it home on body and soul. That's how it was in the ministry of Jesus Christ our Lord. No one went from Him as He came. No one came in vain. He who came to the Lord, no matter with what, He was helped. The Lord only asked, what do you want me to do for you? And also this we said here before, everything what is reported in the Gospels from the ministry of Jesus Christ our Lord shall happen there where the Gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. There's no other way. It belongs to it. Let us take it today very personal. everyone for himself. You have a request on your heart. Dear brother, dear sister, dear friends, take this request now. And when we later on pray, bring it before the throne of grace by faith. By faith that the Lord all our needs, our troubles, and whatever we may have, sickness, whatever it might be, he bore everything. On his body, he carried everything to the cursed wood. He became sin for us, so that we are redeemed through him, and delivered, and healed. It is written in Peter somewhere, this I say to myself, and I say it to all of us. In 1 Peter, in chapter 5, here it is written in verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a wonderful word. If we could just put it into practice, and here I mean me and all of us, if we could just do it by faith, we know very well that by our cares, we most certainly cannot prolong our lives, at the most shorten it, but not prolong. And not even the least becomes different. It becomes different if we don't care, but when we understand that the Lord has taken care for us. I think I said it in Krefeld, when somebody came to Brother Branham and spoke to him and said, how can you take it so lightly? Or how can you so easy walk over it? It concerns your family. And then Brother Branham said, this was determined for me already before the foundation of the world as a trial. And there he spoke out a sentence really in an American way. Just forget it. And he carried on as usual. The people, of course, then looked a bit surprised. He could have worried sometimes, but he had a mentality and the grace of getting through it all better. I have one request to all of you. I preached to you the word in faithfulness and truth, but I am in such a expectation, and I feel it on the body and on the soul, on all what I am. I would like that God comes to his right, that a breakthrough comes, that he manifests himself, and I have the request to you, remember me more than ever before. I have to hear from heaven, there must come an answer, an instruction, which we need. You all know, all the men of God, they did what the Lord commanded them. And the instructions which the Lord gave were always very clear. He gave to Noah the measurements, how and what he should build. He always said precisely what should be done. I believe it is the last round that really counts. The last round is what counts. And it seems we have come close to this hour. We must, in deep reverence before God, but in faith and in confidence, walk towards this hour of God, in the expectation that he will make it well. He will confirm the word which we have heard and which we believe on us and through us. His word will once again become flesh. We will be a part of this divine plan in the end time, not because we wanted it or wish it, but because we found grace in the sight of God, because we may believe what he promised for this time and will have part in that what he will still do. So let us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that when his time comes and his hour comes, that he can exalt us from out of the dust. That's how it was probably written also in this psalm, that the Lord should have mercy on us. Here it says in verse 13, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant." Is this not all our cry? I didn't write this today, but already very long I wrote it next to this text. I wrote the two words there, "Please, Lord." Long ago, they are written there. Let it happen. Let it take place. Turn unto me. Turn unto us. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to us. And give us thy strength. Show me a token for good. Show us a token. What a token shall he show us? In Isaiah it's written, "Ask thee a sign, be it from heaven or down from the earth." And then it says, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign." You all know the scripture. God will set his church once more. Our Lord was set for a sign that would be spoken against, for some to fall and for the others to rise. The church in the last days will be set for the purpose that some will see and the others will be blind. Some understand, the others walk away shaking their heads. But the Lord will crown his church once more with grace and loving kindness. He will appear unto us for salvation, just as certain as he promised it. And many times we have said it here, he will finish his work that he started in victory. He is the victor of Calvary. We don't trust one another, but together we trust the Lord. And may this trust toward him become greater. And may the expectation also become stronger in us, that we could just supplicate, "O Lord, how long?" And here I remind on the one word from the Gospel of Matthew, in which the Lord says, "He will avenge his own elect speedily." Whom? Them who cry day and night unto him. The cry must be in us day and night. May the Lord give me more confidence to it, so that I don't fall into grief or in sorrow, but that I and all of us, that we remain balanced in the faith and in the confidence, walking forward, goal-orientated with our Lord. For he did great things on all of us, and he will do even greater things. Blessed and praised be his wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Before we do this, we want to sing the chorus, "Just as I am." We bow our heads, close our eyes, open the hearts. Perhaps some are here today for the first time. Maybe such who have not yet consecrated their life to the Lord, who do not know yet of an hour in which they were pardoned and received the salvation of God, forgiveness and grace, while we sing this chorus once again, just as I am, may the Spirit of God work in all hearts, especially on those who should obey the call. Jesus calls you, precious heart, say yes to him. I would like to ask, who would like to obey this call? Please raise briefly your hand and put them down again. Is somebody here? Somebody else who wants to obey this call. Thank you. Is there somebody else who knows that he is addressed? The Lord calls. He doesn't want that somebody gets lost. He wants that we are saved. There is a too late forever. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, he calls. Today, come. We sing it once again, and we all raise our hands. We want to pray now together, but I also would like to pray for those who have a request which they have on their heart. Whatever it is, believe now that the Lord is here, that he now walks through our rows and asks each one of us, what do you want me to do for you? Tell him. As a hymn writer sings, tell it, Jesus. Tell it, Jesus. He is your friend in the time of trouble. Tell him now. Tell him about your sickness. Whatever it may be. Also you, brother, with your right eye. Tell Jesus, lay your hand on your eye and tell it, Jesus, Lord, you are the same who you then healed the blind at Jericho. Today you are the same. Let us believe with all our heart that we don't go from here as we came, but joyfully going from here, because we met the Lord. Now we can meet him. Now we can experience him. We feel his presence. He is here. He is nigh to confirm his word on them who believe him, and who believe on him as the scripture says, and to them we may belong. Without being presumptuous, we are numbered among those who believe on him as the scripture says. May now rivers of living water flow. May the power of God be manifest. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, you are not far, you are nigh. Nigh to them who are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, them who humble themselves before you. Faithful Lord, them who believe you, them who call upon you, you let them ask you. Faithful God, confirm today thy word in our midst, on each one, on spirit, soul, and body. Faithful Lord, your word is true, and we take you now at your word. We believe in you. May the works take place which you have done. May they be manifested among your people. We believe you and give you the glory. Satan is defeated. Every sickness is healed. Every sin is forgiven. All are free who have become children of God. Faithful Lord, may the anointing of your Spirit may come so mighty upon us and rest on us, that we, being inspired by the Spirit, speak out that what we asked from you, so that it can take place. Faithful Lord, you will still give us grace, and let the things be seen so as you yourself see them, so that you can glorify yourself once again. Thank you, faithful God, that you have found a mouth in our days through which you could speak. We thank you for it. You have sent a prophet with a prophetic message who led us back into your word, back to the scripture. Faithful Lord, thank you so much. Thy word, you have made it great and glorious to us, and also your name. So glorify yourself, your name, by confirming your word, by signs and wonders following. Faithful Lord, I take it today from your hand that you confirm your word on all who had a request and who brought it to you and who believed that you made it well. May they now, being convinced that it is finished, that it happened, and that they thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, together we give you the glory in the name that is above every name, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.